I know it's only one game, but...
From the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. So good to be with you here on a Tuesday on Theoretically Speaking. It's your boy Theo Dorsey right here. That C-Cat on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos in our Evan Cohen Studios in City Place, downtown West Palm Beach. Kicking it, vibing, feeling good, smooth sailing. C-Cat's feeling good because he's fresh off the golf course, except C-Cat, when you called me and told me you just finished up your round, you didn't seem too happy.
You know, when you're not putting a number down for every hole, it's not very good. So it wasn't very good.
How deep into the round did you decide, okay, we're not going to keep counting score today?
Two pickups. So I went bunker to bunker a couple times. And on those holes, I was like, all right, I guess we're not breaking 100 today.
Before the turn?
No, both were after the
turn. Okay. Well, yeah, that's not bad. I've had rounds. I've recently had rounds where I decided to quit scoring before I even made it back to the clubhouse. So you doing it on the back nine is less... You know, disheartening. You shouldn't have been as down on yourself, but I do get it because the last time you were out golfing, you were like one shot away from breaking 100, and it was because you threw up all over yourself in the past, like, what, 5 or 6 holes?
It was bad. Yeah. It was really bad. Triple, quad, triple. Yeah, bad.
Also really bad, the New York Jets early on.
Are you smiling?
Also,
there's no reason to smile. It was a football game that happened last night.
I don't, you know what? You asked me why I'm smiling. I wasn't smiling because I take any joy from it. Like, I literally told y'all during this offseason, literally a couple of weeks ago, the one take that I have that I feel the most disgusting about, that it turns my stomach upside down, is that the Jets are going to win the AFC East. The Jets are going to win the AFC East. I think they have all of the pieces in place to do so between the quarterback, the revamped offensive line, the supposedly elite defense. Breece Hall should be a top 5 back this year like he pretty much was last year. Garrett Wilson is the number 1 receiver. Remember, like, they were saying, well, we've got to go out and get Davante Adams. You got Davante Adams at home, and Garrett Wilson showed us on a couple of plays there, even though it did not look pretty all in all for the Jets last night. But, yeah. They go on to lose against the 49ers last night, 32-19 on Monday Night Football. It is not the performance you want to see. Robert Saleh did say afterwards, C-Cat, and I agree with him, he feels better on this Tuesday than he did the Tuesday of last year following a win on Monday Night Football against the Bills, and that's because at least you know you still got a quarterback.
I hope so, yeah. That makes sense. That was one of the darkest days in Jets history, no?
Yeah, but they got to win. They got to win.
I guess so.
I'm not saying right or wrong. I mean, some coaches, winning isn't everything. It's the only thing, right? Like, some coaches would take the dub. Like, the Packers are on the other side of the fence. The Packers took a loss, and they lost their quarterback for a few games, we think, right now, in Jordan Love, who has the sprained MCL. But, yeah, so for the Jets, and specifically, today is going to be a fun show today, C-Cat. Number one, Tina is back. So when we kick off the happy hour in about 45, 50 minutes, Tina has returned from her bachelorette trip. So we cannot wait to pick her brain and get her to snitch on everybody that was on the trip because we had a bunch of teammates that were actually out there as well.
Mm-hmm. So the rumor mill is absolutely churning.
Oh, yeah. Based on the text she sent us and one specific line in that text, we're going to drill her because we know something must have shook out. Based off of something she told us in that text, she gave herself away. It was a little Freudian of Tina in the wild. So we'll get with her later. Plus, we have Mike Tannenbaum joining the show, former Jets GM, NFL insider for ESPN, and our friend here on Theoretically Speaking. He's going to pop up in a few to break down week one of the NFL season because this is the time for overreactions. This is the time for if you were 100% certain that one thing was going to happen and you saw maybe like even a 5% chance in week one that it's leaning in that direction, confirmation bias kicks in. Confirmation bias just takes over your brain and you start really, really believing and fortifying yourself in these opinions. It's Overreaction Tuesday after week one of the NFL. But the way we're going to code it today, C-Cat, is going to be a lot more fun than just an Overreaction Tuesday.
We're creative.
We're a little creative here on Theoretically Speaking. We've been doing this thing over 100 episodes. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube, and maybe you'll be with us for the 200th episode, 300th episode. Here's how we're kicking it off. Every statement you make today about what happened in the NFL from week one, you have to phrase it like this. I know it was only one game, but, and for me, right off the back of Monday Night Football, I know it was only one game, but the New York Jets look like an abject, absolute, hot, flaming mess right out of the gates, right in prime time, right after we found out Christian McCaffrey would not be suiting up for the 49ers and you thought the Jets would have a break. They were 4.5-point dogs on the road against the 49ers team that all offseason were dealing with contract disputes from their best players. We're dealing with Christian McCaffrey injuries. We're dealing with the fact that they played all the way up through the final game of the NFL season in the Super Bowl and had the ultimate collapse because not only did you not perform well enough, well, you had two guys on a Netflix documentary that were mic'd up, so we got to follow that journey all the way through. And it was very public just how little knowledge everyone on that 49ers team had about the rules of overtime, literally in the biggest game of their careers. Kyle Shanahan and the rest of the Niners gang, I've been saying it all offseason, are gearing up for and look like they're in lockstep for a Super Bowl hangover, just like what happened last time they lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But the Jets didn't even give us enough to see, to really test the Niners in a way that would bear any of that out. I'm looking at some of the stats from last night. And again, it was a 32-19 loss. It wasn't even that close. 32-19 loss for the New York Jets. The Jets defense, which last year, C-Cat, was the only strength that they had. Maybe the special teams as well with Gibson running back punts and kicks. The Jets defense was their only strength. It was the only thing you can count on. They allowed 8 straight scoring drives against that Niners team that was without its most impactful player in Christian McCaffrey. 8 straight scoring drives they allowed. They hadn't done that in 45 years. Robert Saleh is a defensive-minded head coach. That defense is young. It is paid well. You got DJ Reed, who just got a bit of a bag. You got a lot of guys that refortified that front. I know that Hassan Reddick is still not playing football for the Jets right now, but you are supposed to have it all intact, at least on that side of the ball. I get that the offense was a bit clunky, but they also missed 18 tackles, according to Pro Football Focus. What that tells me is that's a Jets defense that I don't know if they were counting on Aaron Rodgers to come and save the day. I don't know if the 49ers were just that much more dominant and pushed them into positions where they fell to the pure will of the Niners, because that's what it felt like at times during that game. But I can excuse like a bit of inconsistency from your offense. I can excuse Aaron Rodgers looking a little trepidatious in the pocket and being afraid of getting injured again. What I can't excuse is 18 missed tackles, 8 straight scoring drives allowed to a 49ers team who had Brandon Ayuk dropping balls in the end zone. Trent Williams, the left tackle who I said Christian McCaffrey's the most impactful player on that offense. Trent Williams is the most important. That dude hadn't even had a week of practice or so. And y'all look like that against that offense. The Jets defense should be ashamed of themselves. New York looks like an abject, hot mess right now. And for Robert Saleh, who feels better today than he did 365 days ago because at least he knows he has his quarterback, if he doesn't get that defense in line to at least compete, it ain't going to matter if you got a quarterback or not. I still have the Jets making the AFC East, or excuse me, winning the AFC East and getting bounced really early in the playoffs. But I know it's only one game. They got a lot to clear up out there in East Rutherford, New Jersey, and it's going to start with that defense. But I did like, C-Cad, you agreed with me. I did kind of get a little tingly.
Yeah, I got tingly.
A little excited when I started seeing that Aaron Rodgers to Garrett Wilson connection. Man, that was beautiful.
It was beautiful. I was shocked to see they only had 11 targets in that game. It felt like a lot more because they all came in that first drive, essentially.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers didn't play the whole game. He was out that last series. You got to see Tyrod Taylor on the field.
He looked good.
I loved what I saw from Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. If you drafted them in fantasy or if you're betting on Garrett Wilson props in 2024, you should be very excited and very happy. the new look too with the longer jersey.
Yeah.
The sleeves. The
loose sleeves,
hanging.
Yeah.
I like it distinguishable. It makes him a little bit different. I appreciate it.
It is a bit different, and a lot of people are trying to differentiate themselves, and Garrett Wilson is a guy who they put that stat up for Garrett Wilson. He's caught, I believe, like 170 or 180 balls from seven different quarterbacks in his young career so far, and he's still on his rookie deal, still with the same team that drafted him, which is just amazing from a guy like that who's had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons with, you know, a hodgepodge of mediocre quarterbacks. I don't even say mediocre, like literally the floor when it comes to quarterback play in New York so far. That's what has me so optimistic about this team. Like, I think that's why I'm overreacting now to one game, because if things don't change on the defensive side and if the Jets are actually relying on Aaron Rodgers to be good, if they're relying on him to be near his MVP level, I don't see that happening. I think this offense can click and be an above average unit. But my whole belief process on all of this was all hinged on that defense being dominant. And they looked way better last year with most of the same parts than they do this year. And I don't know if Hassan Reddick comes in and changes that. I know that C.J. Mosley missed some time, the linebacker in this game. So I don't know what they're going to have to shore up to be better on that end. But I do know that after one game against a team that I expected to come out flat, against a 49ers team that didn't even have their best stuff last night. They didn't even have their best stuff. Let's hear it, though, because, C-Cat, before we took on Monday Night Football, you and I agreed we wanted to listen to the main broadcast. We wanted to listen to Joe Buck call Monday Night Football. I'm starting to shift gears and kind of turn, and maybe I'm going to be a Manning Cast viewer going forward, because I know it's only one game, but that breakdown from the Mannings and Bill Belichick last night during that Garrett Wilson fade route on third and long from Rodgers to Wilson. Oh man, that got me going.
Hey, they went a little no huddle right here. They went a little no huddle.
Yeah, no huddle, dummy snap count. So you can see what the defense is doing. Right? Yeah, he's doing two leg kicks. That's his version of a hard count
breaking
in the
down.
Silent count. He knows what the defense is doing, so he can audible, just like Bill said, to a play. He's calling a man beater, slot fade, back shoulder.
Rebio, man, coverage.
Nice catch.
Now, of course, you couldn't necessarily see through this medium, but yeah, Peyton Manning literally called things out as Aaron Rodgers was doing it. And we know, what was Peyton Manning's biggest strength? It wasn't his arm. It wasn't his mobility. It was his ability to literally read the defense pre-snap and make adjustments. That was his bread and butter.
That's how I think I sound when I mansplain football to my girlfriend. Got press coverage, top of the screen. Watch out. Here comes the fade. I can feel it. Yeah, and I don't sound nearly as smart, obviously, because I don't have a percentage of the knowledge that Peyton Manning does, but it makes me feel better.
You know, you're right. It does feel excruciatingly good to call something in a football game, especially right alongside your lady, to call something and then it happens. Like, when you call something during a football game live and you're next to your lady, maybe even at a group, a party, and it happens as you kind of drew it up, it doesn't even have to sound as smart as Peyton Manning made it sound right there. You're still the man. You deserve the strut.
At a watch party where, like, you're the one who's most into sports out of everyone else there, maybe it's a Super Bowl party, and everyone's very casual. They probably watch the playoffs and the Super Bowl, and you know something, and you show that, and it calls it. Oh, it feels good.
It feels so good. There's barely any other better feelings in the world. I mean, obviously, the perfect golf shot. You can't really beat that. A swish of a basketball net that's a chain net. A swish of a basketball net that's a chain net. That sound right there, it really gets my dopamine running through my brain there. But then,
car starting when you don't know if it's going to start. Or you're having car trouble or maybe a battery problem and it does start.
I had a problem with my car back in college where it was a little red 06 Nissan Sentra and it had a squeaky belt. You know a squeaky belt. When you start it up and you start hearing it, it's like really loud.
Uh-huh.
So, but it would only do it sometimes. It was like a 30% chance every time I started my car that the squeaky belt thing would happen. And again, in college, you're around a lot of people and there's a lot of women around sometimes when you start your car. There's a lot of there's a lot of shame with that. So the times that I would start it and there were people around and the belt didn't go off. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's bad.
I felt so good.
My old car. Yeah.
I'm talking about the times that the belt didn't squeak on me. Yeah, of course. It was like, yeah, because you're just you're anxious.
You got away with it. They don't know how much piece of crap this car is.
Yeah.
Up until November of last year, I was driving a really old car, a car handed down from my mom, an 08 SUV. Mm. And the muffler was kind of loose. So for some reason, when he would start the car, it would vibrate and make a really loud noise when it was idling. It wouldn't make the same noise when the car was actually moving when it was idling for some reason. And my girlfriend's parents would talk so much crap in Spanish about my car.
Dang, you couldn't even understand what they were saying.
Because I would be sitting outside waiting to pick her up from her mom's place, and it would be so loud because I'd leave the car on. You could hear me pulling up before I even text her to come outside. But you're right.
You got parked down the street, bro.
Yeah, it's tough.
That's a bad look. If I was a dad and the guy picking up my daughter was pulling up and his car was broke down every time he pulled, I'd be like, you're not taking my daughter out in that thing.
Well, you see, not to get too off topic, but the situation calls for it because my high school girlfriend.
Yeah.
I had to have her dad on the phone with me talking me through to do an oil change to her car.
Oh, man.
We were going to a Yankees game for my birthday gift. Yeah. It was a hot July summer day. Oof. And she called me in a panic with check engine lights on or whatever. And then she calls her because I don't know about cars. I don't know nothing about cars.
You. I understand, man.
So she stopped at the local supermarket, picked up the oil. I didn't empty any oil. I just poured new oil in. But that was very emasculating.
Yeah, that's tough. That is a tough scene. Even hearing it right now, I'm getting secondhand embarrassment.
I couldn't get the oil cap off. I had to get like a big wrench get leverage to get the oil cap off because it was so tight onto it. So I'm on the phone with the dad. I can't get it off.
You know, we're on the radio right now, right? People are hearing you say these things about yourself. This is a...
Yeah, it's worse than bad. When you need to like hand someone else a pickle jar. Like it was excruciating.
And then he walked you through it.
He walked me through it on the phone. It took way too long because I never actually emptied oil out. It took like 20 minutes.
Was his last step, and go ahead and drop my daughter back off and lose her number.
It should have been. I'm sorry, Paul Malone.
Yeah.
That's the real name. Yeah, sorry.
Oh my gosh. Christian Cat.
Paul's a good guy, though. I like Paul.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Extremely Irish.
Yes.
He was a Steelers fan, so I'm a Ravens fan, so like he hated me for that reason. But he DVR'd a Ravens game one night for like a watch it when I got there.
That was extremely nice of this guy.
Yeah, it was.
Well, big shout out to Paul. Is he related to Post?
No.
Post's father as well?
No,
you're dating
not.
Post's sibling?
Unfortunately not.
Unfortunately not. Okay, well, back to the original scheduled program before we realized that, C-Cat, lost his manhood before he even really gained it in high school, asking a brother how to help change the oil of his daughter as he was taking him out. That's a little sad. What is also sad is the fact that there are many teams that are already down in the dumps, whether it's the Giants, who don't really understand how the heck they're going to get through 16 more games with that kind of abysmal quarterback play, whether it's a team like the Arizona Cardinals, who are running into that same wall that you've had before, where it's electric play, it's a fun offense, but you're not finishing games and getting wins. What is your overreaction from week one? And you have to phrase it, just like I said, right here on Theoretically Speaking. I know it's only one game, but 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776. That's the number to the Baptist Health Hotline to call in to Theoretically Speaking. I know it's only one game. I know it was one outing. It's just week one. But how do you feel? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care got offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. And I will say I'm glad, C-Cat, that you did ask for help. You were man enough, you were wise enough, you were mature enough to ask for help in changing that oil instead of just screwing it up. And then you got a bigger problem on your hands. Sometimes asking for help does end up being the better case scenario.
I accepted the help. I didn't ask for the help.
She called?
She called on the way. So, like, I walked outside and she had her pops on the phone already.
That is a bad sign, because also that shows that she had just a lack of overall confidence in your ability to do it in the first place.
Yeah, that was tough.
Okay. Okay. Breathe. It's okay. We're far from that now. That girl is gone from your life, and so is Mr. Malone. I know it was only one game, but C-Cat, how are you overreacting from week one of the NFL?
I know it was only one game, but Josh Allen's going to win the unanimous NFL MVP.
Wow.
He's doing it all himself, and he's going to continue doing it on himself. Against the Cardinals, pretty good offense. They scored 28 against him. He scored 4 touchdowns on his own, putting up 34 for the Bills. Had a hand problem. That's okay, because that's why you have Josh Allen on your team. He's just a giant giraffe who just takes blows, deals with it, and moves on. He's not injury riddled because he's tougher than the other quarterbacks. Mm. That's why I love Josh Allen and what he brings to the Bills franchise. That's why I think he's going to bring the Bills to the Super Bowl, not just playing the game, and to win the game. I love what I saw from Josh Allen.
So I will say this, and I'm glad you put this as your overreaction from week one, because number one, have we ever for a moment just stopped and considered the competition? Name 2 dudes on the Cardinals defense. Because all I got is Buda Baker.
Ah, you took mine.
Exactly.
Patrick Peterson still there? That's what I thought of when I thought Cardinals. Oh, you know what? How about the linebacker they draft from Tulsa?
Or no.
Linebacker they draft from Tulsa. Forgot his name.
Exactly.
So it doesn't count.
Exactly.
Xavier Collins, maybe.
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 You could have just said a name. You just say a name. Just say a name. That, he could have been on the Cardinals defense. And that exactly is why I wouldn't overreact to the Bills outlasting the Cardinals in a shootout. Because number one, you have to, if you're going to win MVP, you got to win 11 games or so. You got to win 10 or 11 games to go along with your good stat line if you're Josh Allen. And number two, and that means your defense has to be good. You should be able to stop a Cardinals offense who couldn't get the ball to their number one option in their top 4 overall draft pick in Marvin Harrison, but one time in that game. And a team that honestly is kind of fresh. That whole offense is kind of fresh as Kyler Murray tries to figure some things out there in Arizona. I would have expected, if you're going to take that pick, if you're going to feel that way about the Bills after week one, I would have expected it to happen in a more dominant fashion. They snuck by. I was going to go squeezed, but you, I know, squoke.
Squoze.
They squozed by the Cardinals. And that's just, to me, that I would be feeling the opposite way.
Every time I see Josh Allen, I feel like he gets better. He made less mistakes on week one this year than he did week one last year, and so on and so forth and so on and so forth.
What did he play last year, week one? The Jets. They forced him into. See, that's the thing too with Josh Allen, is a team that forces him into mistakes, that a team that threatens him and makes him try them, that's when he starts to get into that volatile bag of, you know, again, similar to you on that back nine a few weeks ago, just throwing up all over himself.
And also, we got better throughout the game. 3 of the 4 touchdowns came in the 4th and 3rd quarter in the second half. Josh Allen is the reason the Bills will be a division-winning team, and that is why he is going to win the MVP this year.
It's absolutely insane.
It's a regular season award, so you can poke holes into the Super Bowl claim, because that would mean he'd run through the AFC. But I think regular season-wise, Josh Allen, MVP, I can see it already. Hasn't really won it yet. He hasn't really gotten many votes yet, just because of where he's playing, the time of which he's playing.
Yeah,
I think it's easy.
I'll see to this. At least you have a buddy in Evan Cohen on Unsportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. weekdays here on ESPN 106.3. Also joins us weekly, who also feels that same way and's been feeling that way about Josh Allen in the offseason. I've got to see more, and I got to see it against better competition. We'll see what he does Thursday night against the Dolphins.
You can't say I've got to see more. The whole premise of segment one, I know it's only one game.
You're right. I'm not saying you're wrong for saying it. I'm just saying, me personally, I don't have that overreaction. I still feel fortified in the fact that Josh Allen is going to go 9-8 this year, and he's going to show you why you should not be heavily leaning on a guy that's as inconsistent as he is in big spots.
So you thought that Josh Allen should not have put his team, or really that team should not be in a place to trailing by a touchdown at halftime to the Cardinals?
They were down 14 to the Cardinals, weren't they, like, at one point? And they were trailing at the half. Like, I do not think that the Bills should be in that situation. Also, if you're Josh Allen and you're really that kind of guy, I know it's just week one, but that Cardinals defense, it should be available to be had.
Who's it throwing to?
Coleman, Dalton Kincaid. He's handing it off to what's his name back there, James Cook. He is Josh Allen. He's supposed to be running it in like he did twice.
And he did.
Yeah, he did.
He said he's supposed to.
Let's see it Thursday. Let's see it Thursday against a real NFL team that feels like they're a contender. And speaking of those Dolphins, I do have to address this before we get to the other side with Mike Tannenbaum. Tyreek Hill and his situation with the police before their game Sunday at Hard Rock Stadium. Right now, obviously, we saw the cop cam video. I can't even get my words together right here. But you know what? Instead of the overreaction to that, I thought that Evan Cohen's teammate on Unsportsmanlike this morning, Chris Canty, summed it up perfectly when addressing this. Tyreek Hill being on the other side of what it seemed to be law enforcement overstepping the bounds of what they should have did in the situation ahead of the Dolphins versus Jaguars game. Here's Chris Canty's reaction.
This is an opportunity for the NFL to take all of that performative allyship that they had back in 2020, 2021, and 2022 and put it to good use. Because it's clear that this was an overstep by the law enforcement officers involved. They can't be trusted. It was clear and obvious to me that those officers were intent on putting Tyreek Hill in his place. They saw him driving a $250,000 car on the way to the stadium, and they decided, you know what? We're going to pull him over, and if he gives us any reason, we're going to rip him out of the car and slam him to the pavement. The police officers wanted Tyreek Hill beneath them, both literally and figuratively. And that's the kind of crap that black Americans can't stand. That's why we're so frustrated.
We could cut it. We could cut it right there. We could cut it right there because we do got to get to Mike Tannenbaum on the other side. That was Chris Canty on Unsportsmanlike. We just learned now that Tyreek Hill's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, is calling for the officers involved in that incident to be fired. We know that they are on administrative duty. The one of the officers involved that ripped Tyreek Hill out of his car and put him on the pavement in handcuffs. That's a developing situation. That's a story that's going to continue to bring more data points that we're going to have to learn more about and what the reinforcements or the reaction from law enforcement will be. I will say this morning we had an event at the Breakers where I was able to chop it up actually with Jeff Darlington, the ESPN NFL reporter, who, again, I told him, like, every time a big-name athlete gets arrested right before their before their event, you're right there to cover it. He was there for Scottie Scheffler. He has been reporting on this Tyreek Hill incident. And from what he's been saying, it seems like, again, this is just the start. There's going to be a lot more that comes out from this.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. When you have all of the footage, before we got the body cam, we immediately knew this happened. Like, this was talked about maybe 15 minutes after it happened?
Yeah.
Like, that news broke because Tyreek Hill was very, obviously, driving that $250,000 car that Canty was talking about. So you immediately focus in, and Tyreek Hill is so recognizable as a jacked athlete. Like, of course, you recognize it was him immediately. Yeah, this ain't going away.
Bunch of Dolphins fans outside of the stadium right before a Dolphins game, and you see a 5'8 dude who's, like, jacked on the floor, and you're like, that's Tyreek Hill. Yeah, it was immediately a thing that got picked up. Super weird and strange. But again, that's something that we'll be following closely, and something has to be rectified. It's just outright outrageous. C-Cat right here with me. On the other side, we'll bring in Mike Tannenbaum to talk some ball. We're going to get his week one superlatives. We're going to find out which rookie quarterback had the best debut, as well as which team he knows following 1 week is definitely not going to make the playoffs. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
We got a submission from the chat on YouTube at Theo Speaking. I know it's been only 1 week, but Devontae says the Jets are going to be good. These first two quarters of a game or two-thirds games are basically preseason for the starters, in his opinion. That's right. It's early. A lot of players don't play in the preseason. Stop laughing, CK. It's not
first
funny.
First two or three games. That's what he was trying to say. The early
now.
Schedule is going to be tough for the Jets.
God. I mean, do you have to just...
The first two-thirds games.
I know. I was reading it for the first time. All right. I told you I'm insecure about my reading, and here you are attacking me. Live on the radio, live on YouTube. C-Cat's attacking me. One guy who I know has my back, Kendrick Lamar, they not like us, who'll be at the Super Bowl. And I wonder when's the last time our guy Mike Tannenbaum, who joins us weekly on Tuesdays to talk ball, when's the last time Mike T's been actually in the stadium for a Super Bowl? Are you an in-stadium kind of guy?
I can do both. I got some versatility, I think.
Do you? But I know a lot of people like the viewing pleasure of the Super Bowl from the crib, and I'm sure a guy with as much pull as you, Mike Tannenbaum, you likely can get tickets, probably 10 tickets per Super Bowl with as much motion as you have. So when is the last time you've actually gone in person for a Super Bowl?
It's been a while. It was at MetLife. It was the Broncos and the Seahawks. So I'm usually we'll go to some events, and then I'll go home and watch the game, which is a much better experience.
How's it feel, man? How's it feel to have a week in the books, to have like all real data points, no more just random, you know, training camp news or preseason predictions? Like, we actually have real football that just got played over the weekend.
Yeah, it's great. Let's get into it.
All right. We start off Mike Tannenbaum, who joins us here, with obviously the big question from the day, and that is around Justin Fields being named the starter for the Steelers. Mike Tomlin leaning on practicing and preparing for him to remain in place as Russell Wilson nurses back that calf. What did you see out of Justin Fields in week one that tells you that, you know, they should be confident in him going forward?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a microcosm of his career. You know, he made some really good throws, especially, you know, one down the sideline to George Pickens. I was yelling at the screen unsuccessfully to get George out of bounds with 1 second to go in the first half. He was way too casual, in my opinion. But I think what Justin does is he makes plays with his legs. I think he'll continue to improve as a passer. And compared to, you know, an older, hobbled Russell Wilson, he's gives them a better chance to win.
Mike T, what do you think? I know that there's been a lot of, you know, fine comb tuning through what people have said around that Niners game last night with the Jets. At what point do you think the Niners actually made the decision to hold out Christian McCaffrey, who's been dealing with that calf and potentially Achilles injury, and go with Mason, who ended up having a huge day for the Niners?
Yeah, you know, so, you know, not to like word salad this thing, but like, you know, both things could be true. Like, it's coach speak. Like, you know, when you're a coach and you're talking to a backup, and again, like, context here is like, you're the backup to the best, arguably the best football player that's not a quarterback, and you may probably go to him 48 hours ahead of time and say, hey, man, you're starting. Like, we don't know what's going on. We're dealing with the calf and Achilles. You're starting. That's your mindset. Now, could that change the last minute? Yeah, but I want you to think that you're starting. Like, you can hear coaches easily say that. And a lot of times, especially with soft tissue injuries, it's a very fluid situation. So, like, I'm not a big conspiracy guy, but, like, you know, it's not a big deal how it may have gone down.
Right, and I feel like I can respect that as well, given how important Christian McCaffrey is to that team, what stage he is in his career, and the fact that he's a running back. You're not risking it with him if you do feel like it would have been a risky play to have him out there on Monday night. So not really something that grinds my gears as much. C-Cat, how about we play a game with Mike T? We're going to be giving out our week one superlatives. 1 week into the NFL season, after one data point from every single one of the 32 teams, I want to know what you're most high on with each category here. So we'll start you off with the easy one. Let's go with best debut from a quarterback. Best debut from a quarterback, Mike T. Who do you give that to?
You know, that's a good question. I'm going to go, I like Jaden Daniels. I thought he played well. He made plays with his arm. He made plays with his legs. They wound up losing. You know, Mike Evans made a couple of great plays in that game. But, like, compared to Caleb Williams, I thought Jaden Daniels played a heck of a game.
Yeah, I looked at Jaden Daniels. I was watching on Red Zone, and I saw the stat sheet, and his top three targets were running back, tight end. Ertz, Eckler, Robinson Jr. Do you read into that at all from an observer from your standpoint, Mike T?
You know, Coach Belichick made this point the other day, guys. Yards across the board were down. You know, I think that's a byproduct of two things. One, it's kind of where the sport is going. But secondly, it's opening day, and not a lot of people, you know, as we saw, played a lot in the preseason. So I think, especially for younger players, it's like, hey, let's get the ball out of their hands and a lot of run after the catch. But I would like to think as the season goes on, we'll see the ball get pushed down the field more. And his first throw was terrible, but after that, I thought Jaden Daniels actually played well, and I thought, like, really good poise. And some of the things you look at is Caleb Williams was his home. Washington with that Tampa Bay. Todd Bowles, great defense. And they didn't have any turnovers, not too many penalties. So from that standpoint, I was encouraged.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us with some superlatives from week one of the NFL season. How about this one? Most concerning performance from a team, most concerning following 1 week into this NFL season.
Yeah, Theo, maybe this is recency bias, but you know, if we were going to be playing the 49ers guys and we were on defense and we said Trent Williams wasn't going to be in training camp, Brandon Ayuk wasn't going to be in training camp, and Christian McCaffrey wasn't going to play, I think the three of us would be doing backflips. And the Jets couldn't slow him down at all. I mean, let's face it, the 49ers basically played keep away. Like, I don't think Aaron Rodgers played great. Or I don't think he played terrible, but he really didn't have a lot of opportunities because the Jet defense was so bad. I was very disappointed in their performance.
Lowest time of possession in Aaron Rodgers' 200-plus game career, 20 minutes. 20 minutes and about 20 seconds last night. It was not fun. It was not a fun watch if you were a Jets fan. Mike Tannenbaum joining us, giving some NFL superlatives following week one. How about this? As a GM, you can respect this one. 1 week into the season, best offseason acquisition. Which player proved their GM smart?
Yeah, I think that's ESPN West Palm Beach and having theoretically speaking.
There
on
we
the
go.
Air.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Whoever the general manager is around here needs a raise. I rock with it.
We have a GM.
Yeah.
You're right. Well, I, you're right. That was an idiotic take of me. I was thinking like sports GM, and then you're right. We have an actual general manager here. Shout out to the Prince. Mike Tannenbaum, one last one, since you want to give that. That was a nice hedge right there. And of course, we're going to take it because you buttered us up here on Theoretically Speaking. One last one from the NFL week one. If there's a contender, a team that walked into the season believing we can win a Super Bowl, we can compete at the highest level, after 1 week, is there any of the teams that have that level of expectation that you don't think should be considered in that category going forward?
Yeah, you know, the one that comes to mind, guys, would be Cincinnati. Now, look, they had a weird game. Gesicki's touchdown was nullified. They had two fumbles, one going into the end zone. So I get that, but if you want to have home playoff games and meaningfully have a chance to compete with, you know, Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson in January, you want to be at home, and you can't lose a home game against a team that's in a massive rebuild with a starting quarterback that is, you know, a very competent, but let's face it, you know, the quintessential journeyman, that just can't happen. And I was really disappointed, even with the turnovers, that Cincinnati didn't figure out a way to win.
That was the NFL superlatives with Mike Tannenbaum. On the way out the door, though, I do have a question because C-Catch, you put it on the show sheet, and I would love to get Mike T's opinion on it. It follows the Jets, and it's about Garrett Wilson. I mean, his connection with Aaron Rodgers, from what you saw last night, just how high are you on that? How prolific do you think that can be as they continue to gel, knowing that they didn't really play through the preseason?
Yeah, look, he can certainly be a top five, you know, receiver. He's fast. He has great hands, great run after the catch. You know, of course, you'd be a little worried about his size. You know, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but boy, I thought he was impressive last night, especially early on. And again, like, in fairness to the Jet offense, like, they just didn't get enough at-bats.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to hurt you when you're not getting those reps in, and then you have to start off with a team that was just in the Super Bowl last year. Mike T, appreciate you for pulling up. Thank you for gracing us with your presence, giving us some superlatives, and maybe we'll see you in New Orleans rocking out to some Kendrick Lamar at halftime, huh?
Love it. All right. Thanks, guys.
That's our guy, Mike Tannenbaum. His presence, his appearances here on Theoretically Speaking, always brought to you by Eisner Amper. And he pulls up with the good stuff, man. I love the fact that he is crediting Jaden Daniels even in that blowout loss. He did look extremely good. And you think about the other rookie quarterbacks, of course, we didn't get a chance to see from Michael Penix Jr. J.J. McCarthy is out for the year. Bo Nix looked terrible, even as he dinked and dunked his way through the field when he tried the Seattle Seahawks defense. It ended up going the other way. Caleb Williams threw for 93 yards.
I've got a conspiracy about Mike Tannenbaum. Mike Tannenbaum's going to join the airwaves of ESPN West Palm later today.
Yeah.
He's going to join Rizzo and Russo.
Yes.
Russo and Rizzo
will be the correct way to say it, but yes.
4:45 p.m. he's going to join. I think he's holding back.
Whoa.
I think he has something in the chamber for a debut performance on Russo and Rizzo. I think he was holding back on us, and I'm waiting until he got off the phone to say it.
You think, first of all, if you thought that, you should have confronted him with it right then.
I raised my hand. He didn't see me.
Okay. So I'm happy that he's making his debut on Russo and Rizzo, which follows this show now at 4 o'clock. But if I find out that he was treating us like an NBA back-to-back game and we're the Washington Wizards and next up is the Boston Celtics,
the tune-up,
I'm going to be damn mad at Mike Tannenbaum. I don't know how I'm going to take it out on you, Mike T, but if I find out that Mike T is treating us like the Thursday night football game that veterans sit out on, is treating us like, what's the comparison in baseball? What would be a baseball comparison to that where you're...
Oh, it's a getaway game. Yeah. It's the last home game of your homestand before a road trip, and you pretty much just punt on your lineup and get a lot of your guys out of the lineup to give them a bonus rest day.
If I find out that's what Mike Tannenbaum did to us here on Theoretically Speaking, after he buttered us up with that NFL question I gave right there, I don't know. I don't really have a plan of action, C-Cat. Just like you who cowered away and didn't say anything on the air, I'm not going to say anything that's going to get myself in trouble either. I'm a smart man.
Give our best JC impression.
Yeah.
Just send out cryptic tweets.
Yeah, there
man,
we go.
Man, these insiders nowadays think they're better than everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? I'm going to, I'll ask our guy JC how to properly subtweet. I'll take a course from him and I'll deliver some out because that would be disrespectful, wrong, and I would not like it. A place that is never going to disrespect you. It's only going to put you in the proper position to succeed, especially during football season, especially if you have an empty stomach and a full vision of locking in on some games. Duffy's Sports Grill, DuffysMVP.com. That's where you go to become a rewards member, and Duffy's Sports Grill is where you pull up on any day of the week to tap in, watch some games. 80 or more televisions at every single Duffy's location. You got the jumbo wings. You got the award-winning burgers. C-Cat and I had one of those giant pretzels.
Bavarian, I heard.
One of those starters. What is it?
The big giant pretzel. And then in the details, like under the title of the food, Bavarian.
Bavarian.
Of Bavaria.
Of Bavaria.
Buff.
That might be where you're going.
Maybe.
You don't know because you have a random trip coming up that you don't know where the location will be. You know it'll be out of the States. What I do know is they won't have a Duffy Sports Grill, so you won't be able to enjoy their new football starters like the house-made fried pickles. How about some smoked fish dip? Gridiron nachos, crispy fried green beans, loaded and barbecue pig skins. That's just a little taste. That's a little hint, a little appetizer of what you can lock in on at Duffy's. DuffysMVP.com. And remember, at Duffy's, our game is always on. Wow. We do need to get to get closer to the break here. We get to the other hour because we have the Safe Bound get around. We also have Tina pulling up with her tales from the Bachelorette trip, which was in Utah. Which, that's a cool place. Have you been to Utah before, C-Cat?
Never. I feel like if you want the bride to make it to the wedding and you don't want anything frisky happening, I think you bring her to Utah. I think that makes sense.
Utah's like the least, you know what, though? We'll find out. We'll find out. But I don't think of Utah when we think, bachelorette trips, party trips, like kicking it. I mean, it's a nice cabin place, a nice chill family environment.
On the spectrum of if you are a husband who has a wife who is known for being a little promiscuous, and she said, I'm going on a bachelorette trip.
Hold on.
The worst end of the spectrum would probably be, I'm going to a girl's trip to Miami.
Yes.
The other end of the spectrum, I think it's a girl's trip to Utah.
Yes. Also, I will say, just as a hint, no matter where your wife or significant other or girlfriend is taking a trip to, if she's known for being promiscuous...
Don't judge.
If she's known for being promiscuous...
Got a rep. Just
I mean, do we know the proper definition for promiscuous?
You can sleep around and still be married. Like, that's a thing that people do. It's very sad.
That's true in Utah, because I've been... I'm not going to get into that. Actually, my wife Ashley's been watching this show.
Heard about it.
Yeah, like moms of Mormon moms of TikTok or something like that. I don't know what it is, but apparently like they got in trouble. They got in a little bit of a scandal because they were doing a little this, little that, a little bit of this. Kind of like, hey, here's the menu. Anybody can have whatever they want. Type stuff.
Let's go to break.
Yeah. You got uncomfortable just now.
I did.
Don't get so uncomfortable, C-Cat. To get you back comfortable, we'll strap up our seatbelts and we'll hit on the Safe Bound, get around some of the hot topics through the NFL, and then we got Tina on the other side talking about their bachelorette trip in Utah. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Before we get on the Safe Bound get around, I have to clear my name because there's been accusations all throughout the office that I undermined it. Our quote-unquote general manager, Stephanie Prince here at ESPN West Palm. Well, I'm a man that is a journalist, that is objective, and I take the facts in. And when I look at her signature from her emails, which I read my emails every day on time, it says vice president / market manager. Now, I understand on the commercial, she calls herself the general manager. And that doesn't help me. But we technically don't have a general manager. We have a market manager. So I was right.
I think the general manager holds a little bit of weight to it. You know exactly what the GM is of an organization.
Yeah.
Whether it is in media, whether it is in sports, the GM, people know that. They recognize.
It's true. She serves the exact role. I mean, she is the general manager. You know, it's just, it's terminology here. We use different terminology. We don't say coworkers. We say teammate. We don't say general manager. We say market manager. So me being a company man with Good Karma Brands, I had to clear the air. Just make sure people know that's what was going on there. I didn't misspeak. I keep it G. All right, it's time to get on the Safe Bound get around. We're hitting the hot topics all across the nation in sports, and we do so on our favorite vehicle, our favorite way to get around. It's the Safe Bound get around.
I get around. What you mean you don't know? Round and round. Check it out. I get around.
The Safe Bound, get around. You're safe with Safe Bound, and so was my sister. She used Safe Bound Moving and Storage to move out of her Fort Lauderdale apartment out to the great state of Georgia, the Peach State. And it was seamless. It was perfect. It worked out smoothly for her. In fact, it came when she was a bit in a pinch. She had some moving help on the way, and that help actually had a flight delay. This was over Labor Day weekend, and you know how it can be trying to travel out of Labor Day weekend and not being able to make that connector. Well, good thing she had dialed up SafeBound Moving and Storage before making a backup plan to also have some help, because they hooked her up. They got that thing in the truck. They got all those boxes and everything moved out of there. There was no liability on her when it comes to trying to lift couches and hurt your own back or moving bed frames out of rooms. And now you're nicking up the walls and you got to pay for you got to pay your security deposit back. No. SafeBound Moving and Storage, you're safe with SafeBound. That's why they do it. They're based in West Palm Beach. They can move you within the state. They can move you out of the state. They can move you to the state. SafeBound Moving and Storage, they're the place to go if you're on the go.
Next stop.
First stop of the SafeBound get around brings us to Bristol, Connecticut. Because the media company The Spun had a March Madness-style bracket where fans voted on the most annoying person in football media. Out of the 64-person field, Stephen A. Smith took the honor over Skip Bayless in the finals.
It's because you're oversaturated with Stephen A. Smith, so I get it, because I don't even think of him when I think of football media. He's more basketball media or just general talking head. The most annoying person in football media, though, is clearly Nick Wright. And I'm a Chiefs fan, and at times I cannot stand hearing that dude and some of his takes and the way that he delivers them. He's very annoying, and I think he does it on purpose, so I'm not mad at him. But yeah, he's definitely, he just looks annoying sometimes.
Nick Wright is often right. So
have a real eater here.
Yeah, he's often
a
right.
A certified eater.
You know who actually is the most annoying person in football media?
Oh.
He happens to come out of these airwaves in about, I don't know, an hour and 3 minutes.
Oh,
his name is
right.
Mike Rizzo,
you
dude.
You might be right.
Tap me on the shoulder when I get in. I got a lot of stuff going on today. I'm working really hard in the studio. Got something to say? Got something to say to me? Because he picked the Jets. Okay, dude. Okay. I don't care.
Got one right.
Jeez.
Week one, he got one right. He's excited. He's celebrating. He's popping champagne. Not used to winning. Not used to winning. And we get that. Ohio State fan.
Next stop.
Browns fan.
We go to the Yinzers.
Cavaliers fan.
That's what they call themselves in Pittsburgh, Yinzers. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The Steelers are preparing Justin Fields to start versus the Broncos per coach Mike Tomlin.
You know, I'm a terrible person because, you know, sometimes I like to troll my friends. Me and my buddy, he's a Falcons fan. I put 20 on the game. I beat him. And then afterwards, I played him in Madden a little later, picked the Steelers, put Justin Fields in, beat him again by a lot. I added this in here literally just to dunk on my boy Nate. Do you have anything on this field starting for the Steelers?
No, it's going to be very hard to see Russell Wilson take any snaps this year unless Fields gets hurt. And that's a really awkward situation to have.
There's no packages for Russell Wilson. See, Fields could have played if Wilson was the starter because you can make packages for him around the goal line. There's no package for Russell Wilson. So you're right. If Fields holds on to this job, Russell Wilson could have zero pass attempts for the Steelers, and that's not out of the question.
Next stop,
East Rutherford, New Jersey. Because Giants edge Kayvon Thibodeau is taking a page out of Coach Prime's book and dismissing a media member following Sunday's absurdly embarrassing 28-6 loss to the Vikings in Week 1. Take a listen to this.
I know that a lot's on you guys in the pass rush up front. Like, that's what this team's supposed to be built on. How much?
Anybody else got questions?
Which?
Kayvon, what happened?
Is that a big
question for
you?
Go ahead.
You can't do that after a game where you also didn't show up. Like, I just don't. Taking out your frustration on the media when they're not being outright disrespectful, when they're literally just doing their job, is just not a good look, especially not in that market and especially not on that stage. Kayvon Thibodeau's young. He'll figure it out. He'll get it together, but that's just idiotic.
Yeah. Last time we saw this, it was also a player in a Jets uniform, Evan Neal.
Yeah.
Same thing. He was not taking shots in the media, but taking out his anger on his own team against
and
the
fans. Ooh, yeah.
Saying what? They're going back to their fast food jobs. Like, I'm going to go play football tomorrow. Not a good look, Giants. It is ugly turned worse.
Absolutely bad. I will say the one time that when somebody flexed on fans, I actually appreciated it was when LeBron James lost that finals with the Heat. And he sat up there on the podium and was like, yeah, y'all got to go back to y'all's lives tomorrow. I'm still going to be LeBron James when I wake up tomorrow. I was like, damn, he's right. He's right. I was mad, so I was hurt. JJ Barea locked him down. But he kind of dunked on him. Pretty good.
Next stop,
Chicago, Illinois. When Caleb Williams was drafted, this is a story that goes back a couple months.
Yeah.
When Caleb Williams got drafted, he texted the punter of the Bears, Torrey Taylor, that he wouldn't have to punt much. Well, Week 1, the Bears punted 6 times on Sunday versus the Titans, the third most of any team in Week 1, 270 punt yards.
Well, how many passing yards did they get then? Because if Taylor, fourth round pick, had 270 punt yards, maybe Caleb Williams, you know, he outdid him.
Double digits.
93.
That's tough.
Caleb Williams, that's bad. That's bad. I mean, you can't do things like this. I'm glad the text was public. I hate when people do the show the text or show the receipts afterwards, because that's cowardly, kind of like when Jason Tatum showed us that he texted Kobe Bryant. But he did it after the game, after they won. Yeah, show me before the game, because there were a lot of games that you lost, and I'm sure you did the same thing, Jason. I'm looking at you.
Hey, all right. Torrey Taylor for Pro Bowl. Vote him in.
He's well on his way.
Yeah, he's on pace.
He's punting that ball often, Caleb. You're a liar. You're a big, fat liar. Why would you deceive your teammate? Oh, that's
next
it.
Stop.
That was the end of the get around.
Yeah, we got right back to West Palm Beach.
Well, how about this? I'll get back to addressing the rumors and the accusations here in West Palm Beach. Because here goes a message from ESPN West Palm, the official account, jumping in our show chat here on YouTube. What does he think I do? That's a quote directly, apparently, from the ESPN West Palm, quote-unquote, GM. To which I would tell her, Miss Stephanie Prince,
first of all. She is. Nice.
Right. Yeah, well, shut up. I'll tell her, if you did say that, if this is a real quote from our quote-unquote, general manager, Stephanie Prince, I will say this. No. C-Cat, I'm not done. You're trying to save me from getting in trouble? I don't care. All right? I'm on fire right now. Miss Prince did a great job being a GM, you know, selecting theoretically speaking, getting this on the airwaves right here, 2 to 4, giving us the extra hour. We're appreciative. But your signature says you're the market manager and the vice president. So I'm only respecting what you gave me on wax. I'm a journalist. I'm objective. I go by the facts. What do you have to say, C-Cat?
Mrs. Prince.
Mrs. Prince.
Go to break. Get out of here.
We might not even be back for happy hours. We're theoretically speaking, theoretically, for now, on ESPN 106.3.